And yesterday, the three, Pastor Sam came and he spoke on so many things, but, you know, he narrowed it down to some laws, some principles of successful relationships. Amen. Very powerful. Praise God. I especially, you know, loved up, you know, the connection principle. In other words, you must have the same purpose, right? Your purpose must align if you are going to work together. If your purpose does not align, then you are not going to last together. So he spoke on, you know, on that and some other. Tonight, Pastor Sam is going to continue because he had so much to share yesterday and we did not really have enough time for him to pour it out. I decided I will cut out so many things that we will normally do, singing and all that, so that we can get down to the word. Amen. How many of you are excited about that? So we're going to allow Pastor Sam to flow. Amen. To teach and just pour it all out. Glory to God. So, you know, we will put the time in there. He will be able to speak, continue from yesterday, and also speak on, you know, what he had planned to speak on today. Are you excited about that? Amen. So why don't we rise up on our feet right now and let's welcome again all the way from Nigeria, Pastor Sam Oye. Thank you very much. The others will join us. Just flow. Amen.
Yeah, it's so nice to see everybody today, and I'm sure we're going to have a good time together. Is that all right? How many of you came with your notebooks ready to write? Okay, because we're going to round up what we started yesterday, and I trust that the Lord will bless us all in Jesus' name. Why don't you just lift your hands to the Lord and give Him worship? Just express your desire, your love, your affection towards Him. Just tell Him how much you appreciate Him. Just do that if you can. Just tell the Lord how much you value Him. Just bless Him tonight. He is worthy. He is worthy to be praised and glorified in our midst. Yeah, just tell Him. Just open your heart and just tell Him how much you love Him. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you. Please, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Okay. Now, you don't want to tempt me with that. I knew he was going to the keyboard. You don't want to see that side of me here. Is that okay? Oh, amen. Amen. I don't know. What do you do here? Okay. No, don't get me into that. It's a zone I don't want to get into here. Okay, fine. All right. You want to celebrate the first lady? I never knew she could sing. I mean, first I was told she was involved in design. I'm told she lectures. I'm told she is. And I'm wondering, when I saw her coming around, I'm like, okay, she sings also. And then she teaches. And I'm like, okay, where do we fix her? Please just celebrate her for me if you care. And for the graciousness of Pastor Lan, I want to thank you so very much once again for having me come around here to share the word of the Lord. I mean, I could only do this for you because this isn't a time for me to leave the church. Particularly, I was under instruction by God not to leave the church in the whole month of November. Particularly, no Sunday must I be out of church in my country. So I had to cancel all other engagements. I was supposed to be in the United States for 3 weeks. Normally, I don't spend anything less than 3 weeks going from state to state. But I had to call off other meetings, but can't call off this one. You know, so I really value you, sir, and just to express my heart towards you. Let's appreciate our pastor one more time. I must thank Boye and Pastor Lumide for being so kind. And you've just been wonderful. My son wants me to either get him an iPad or he will have to protest, you know. So he's broken my iPad almost 3-4 times now on the screen. And for Boy to walk up to me yesterday and say, Pastor Sam, I noticed the screen of your iPad is cracked. Can I fix it? And he said, I'll do that in the morning and I'll bring it. I was like, should I do? Should I not? And Boy said, Pastor, don't worry. I'm going to bring it in the morning. And Boy took it away from me yesterday. And he brought it just a few minutes to my coming here. So I was like, Boy, you are going to preach today. Because you took the word from the man of God. Praise God. But in any case, I think the major message there for those of us who are going to be preachers is to always be prepared. Yeah, that's one of the things that I want to share with us. Always be prepared. And because if I'm going to start preparing now, what am I going to start preparing to share with you this evening? You know, praise God. Boy, I want to thank you so very much for fixing the screen. And Pastor Olumide had to go all the way to get my camera charger and all of that. Thank you so very much. And the hotel, I'm so grateful to you too for that kind of reception. Thank you to everybody. Really, really thank you. Let's put our hands together for ourselves. We'll retaliate when you come to Abuja. If for those of you that intend to come to my country, come visit my country. It's the largest country in the whole of Africa, largest black country in the whole of the world. We're an exciting country. It's one country where you see the good, the bad, the ugly. Everything is just there. Yeah. And that makes us who we are. We're just a wonderful country. Come visit us. The sun is wonderful. It's just, praise God. It's just a wonderful place to visit. Amen. And please, if you do come, stop by in Abuja and just let me know you're around. Amen. God bless you. I started talking to you yesterday about how to make your marriage and relationships work. And we talked about quite a number of things. I wouldn't want to go back to that. I'm sure the CDs, we have them on CD, so there will be no need for me to go back talking about some of the things that I've already mentioned. In order to make your marriage and relationship work, I began to talk to you about some of the principles that will enable you to make your marriage and relationships work. I talked to you about the principle of connection, which says that you can only go on together for life if you can continue to share the same purpose in life. I shared with you also the principle of attitude, which states that you can only go on for as long as you can get on together or get along with each other. Is that all right? We also talk about the principle of celebration, which states that what you celebrate appreciates, what you criticize will depreciate. If you are thankful for small things, you will attract big ones from your spouse or your intended spouse. What that teaches us is that celebration is a language of significance. And what you keep celebrating, you will keep attracting. And what is repeatedly celebrated will always get done again and again. So we talked about that yesterday. I want to move on to the principle of integrity today. The principle of integrity. If you want your relationship and marriage to work, it's important for you to learn to practice what I call the principle of integrity, which states that if you cannot be trusted, you cannot be entrusted with greater opportunities in marriage and relationship. If you cannot be trusted, you cannot be entrusted with greater opportunities in marriage and relationship. Integrity decides the quality and stability of any marriage or relationship. Integrity decides the stability of your marriage or your relationship. What that simply means is that whether your relationship or marriage will be stable depends largely on your capacity to have integrity. It is very critical. If you remember the story of the Titanic, I'm sure most of us know the story of the Titanic and all of that. One of the reasons why we're told the Titanic actually sank was because it collided with icebergs. But the recent research just proved otherwise. The recent research shows that on the 6 points where there were, slits actually on the ship, some points where they were joined together. Normally boats are made in parts. Is that okay? And then you join them at different points. There were 6 different points at which the Titanic was joined. We're made to understand that there were cracks along those points. And as a result of that, you began to have water flowing into the ship and eventually led to the drowning of that particular ship. The point I'm trying to bring out there, the moral of the story there, is that no matter how big your marriage dream is, if you lack integrity, to be like the slits in those ships and it eventually drown it. The lack of integrity can drown any marriage. Be truthful to one another. Be sincere. Let your yes be yes. Keep your words. If you make a vow to one another, keep to your vows. My wife doesn't have to be here for me to remain faithful to her. Integrity requires that I'm faithful to her in her presence and in her absence. In fact, the more in her absence. I remember the first time I came to the United States some years ago, and you know, I came, then the United States government invited me. And so, you know, I had all the privilege of being placed in hotels, big hotels. And upon my arrival, immediately the first thing the U.S. government did was to put some money in my hands. And that was the first time I was seeing money at that level. Yes. And you know, like I said yesterday, they never say you are humble when you're broke. You understand that? Yes. And don't say you can fall into temptation when you're broke. It's easy to overcome temptations when you're broke because you can't fund it. You understand what I'm saying? You can tell me you saw an escort and you say, Pastor, I saw an escort. I saw a prostitute somewhere. I go to the red light district and I saw this lady, and Pastor, I overcame it. Now, wait a minute. Let's face a fact. Do you have what it takes to fund that lady? If you can, it's natural to overcome it. Because you're not going to go to her and say, sorry, please, can I have you for tonight? And trust me, God is going to bless me in about 2 weeks from now. And so I'm trying to say that. Don't say you can overcome temptations when you're broke. Let money come into your hand like come into your hands like Solomon had it. The Bible says Solomon loved the Lord until when the Lord says, Solomon, for expressing your love to me at this level, listen, even what you didn't ask for, I'll give to you. I'm going to give you wealth. And shortly after Solomon finished building the house of the Lord, the story was changed. The Bible says, and Solomon loved several strange women. Money comes to amplify your weakness. Oh, yes, I will. Money comes to amplify your weakness. That's the truth. Mm-hmm. I hear the man now saying so it's wise, it's normally advisable that you develop your character before you begin to hold substance in your hands. Because if you begin to handle money at a level that your character can sustain, money will become your destruction. The same thing with power. Power comes to amplify your weakness. It comes to amplify the presence or the lack of character. That's what power does too. So, you know, when they brought those money and I saw money, I was like, whoa, this is really big. And I just called the man. I said, sorry, sir, you see, I really don't need this money now. Can you keep it with me, with you? And at the end of this program, I'll collect everything and all of that. He said, okay, fine. I really didn't need it. Now, I entered the hotel and I saw how big the whole place is, the suites, and you know, you're moving from one place to the other and you're just all alone. And I called my wife. I said, sweetheart, I said, come see where God has placed me. I said, now intercession must begin. That the man of God may come back home safely. Praise God. All right, so it's important for you to understand that the absence of integrity can ruin your relationship. The absence of integrity can ruin. And you've seen what's going on today, whether in the secular arena or in the church circle. I was in Tampa, Florida, and I was, I was hearing all the things that were going on in the Florida area. Men of God, churches, 8,000 membership, churches with 10,000 membership, how that the pastor has to be told to step aside because of infidelity, adultery, and all kinds of stuff. Recently, another one just happened. We have one of those great men of God who actually ministers on some of the biggest platforms you have in this country. And young man, God has blessed him. He went to preach in New York in a woman's church. And when he went to preach there, apparently the woman has a daughter. And the daughter took special interest in the pastor. And they began to communicate after he left their church. And how are you doing today? Thank God you're coming to our church with such a wonderful one. And it all began with the Lord is good. Amen. And it began with the Lord is good, amen. And gradually, gradually it progressed and began to move beyond boundaries, because in the first place boundaries were not defined. And okay, so how are you today? And fine, and how are you feeling? And you know, and alright, and you know, when questions begin to go beyond how are you to how are you feeling, and what are you doing? And so is anybody with you? And okay, so are you lying down? Okay, fine. So what are you putting on? You know, so and you know, so and it began to go that way. And so what are you putting on? And oh, sorry, I'm in the bathtub right now. Oh wow, you know, feeling cold and you know, stuff like okay. You're laughing. Okay. Praise God. All right. And so this whole conversation began to go in that direction. Now, the unfortunate part of it was that this were all chats. You understand that? Unfortunately, you know, these chats stay there. And eventually began to go into, okay, I'm feeling lonely. I'm alone. And, you know, I'm missing, you know, and okay, how you... It began to get a little more... You know, was becoming a little more dirty. And one day, she asked if she could come to see him. And he said he was in Atlanta, I think, thereabout. He was ministering for one of the biggest men of God in town. He said he was ministering for him. And she said, can I come? And he said, well, the bodyguards are around. She said she knows how to come in, and then you can just get another room for her. So eventually he got a different room for her. And then when she came in, she sent a message letting him know that she was already around. And he told her to hold on, that the bodyguards were still around, and that he's going to find his way out. And he left the bodyguards at about 1 p.m. and got into her room and didn't surface again until about 2 o'clock thereabout. And then he said to her, don't come out yet because they are still out here. And that was it. Cut a long story short. By the time she left him, barely about a week or two later, she became ill. I think she began to have some discharge and all of that. So it became like life-threatening. It was at that point the mother said, what's wrong with you? And they got to discover that she's been having an affair with this man of God. And that's how the whole thing became a popular thing. Now, the chat between herself and the pastor, everything is now on the internet. He is just beginning his ministry. And it's come to the end of it. What you don't stop now may soon stop you. What you don't stop now may soon stop you. And it's happening all over the world. You see people get to the top of their careers and people get to the very top. I don't want to mention names. You know the stories as you think about it. It's all over the pages of newspapers and on the internet, people just get to the top and you just hear how that a man at that level will engage the services of someone that you will say, what in the world led you to that? Power amplifies your weakness. Money amplifies your weakness. What you don't deal with will soon deal with you. So it's wisdom for you to stop it right away. Integrity requires that you deal with your weakness. Is that okay? The next thing I want to talk about very quickly is the principle of commitment. The principle of commitment, which says that what you don't work on will never work out. What you don't work on will never work out. If your marriage and relationship has to work, it is up to you. What you don't work on will not work out. Don't expect your marriage to work out if you don't work on it. You have to work on it if you expect your marriage to work out. Don't go into marriage expecting that marriage will work out marriage. That's why I said that people go into marriage with high expectation, low preparation, much assumption, and come out with great frustration. If it has to work, it is up to you. You're going to take it to your heart to ensure that every year you remember your wife's birthday. It's a serious matter. Am I really touching on some things here? Pastor, you know, one of the things that really impressed me yesterday was the fact that after I left here, as I got into the hotel, Pastor Olumide can testify to that, I have never seen that happen in all my life of ministry. I saw two of your members, they went to sit down somewhere in a hotel. And guess what they were deliberating on talking about? They were talking about what we have just shared. They were talking about the how to make sure their relationship worked based on the things they heard me talk about in the service yesterday night. And we saw them, we're like, oh, and they were like, we're just talking about the service. And they were just trying to see how they can factor. Now, Pastor, please, we're not sure you're going to be coming tomorrow to talk about this. Can you please share the remaining 7 points with us? They're smart people. They're smart people. Praise God. So now you know something about them. They were working on their relationship. Now, some of the principles that I've shared with you here, if you're not going to go back home and sit down with your spouse to go through the principles and see how to apply, adapt it to your own relationship, don't just expect that hearing will make a difference. What you know is not as important as what you do. So it would be wise for you to go back, get the CD played again and again. And so, okay, principle number one, what did he say? Okay, how does that affect our relationship? How can we build on that? Are we sincere to ourselves? When I tell you I'm coming, do I keep to my words? The promises I made, have I defaulted on any of them? Am I committed enough? Are you committed to this relationship? Is anything causing us to drift apart? The principle of commitment requires that you work on your marriage if you expect it to work. God may have brought two of you together, but you have to make your marriage work. God may have brought two of you together, but two of you have to make your marriage work. Every commitment is sustained by decision, determination, devotion, and discernment. Every commitment is sustained by decision, determination, is sustained by devotion and discernment. If you're going to be committed to each other, there's got to be a decision. Decide to be committed. One of the things I always say to my singles when they get married is that, listen, I say, listen, you're out of circulation now. Yeah, it's over. Yeah. You can only see now, you can't behold anymore. You can only see. I mean, I travel around the world and I see, but I can't behold. Because I'm out of circulation, you know. And I need to tell myself that. Because the danger is to look at the mirror and say, well, look at me, I'm looking cute now, man. I think I should be a gift to all the women in the world. Ah, you're not a gift anymore. You're gone. Just gone. Praise God. All right, so commitment is critical. What you will not do is as important as what you will do to make your marriage and relationship work. So many of us know what we shouldn't do in our relationship. And it's also important that you know what you should do to make your marriage work. Like I said, little things like taking note of your wife's birthday, your husband's birthday, and doing something during such occasions. Making sure the person feels valued. It's critical. And for those of us who have children, those of us who are married men, making sure that at the end of every month you make money available for the upkeep of the children, the family. Making sure your wife has a little from you. And that's why a man has to do what a man has to do in order to keep his home together. How blessed your wife is not a reason why you should sit down at home and be taking tea in the morning. And say, my wife is blessed, you know, Pastor. God's blessed my wife. And sweetheart, come. Sweetheart, God bless you, sweetheart. Come lay at the apostle's feet. Who is an apostle? You don't go to work. You don't do anything. You say you lay at your feet. Apostle in the house. Doesn't work like that. She's your wife. She's not your mom. She's here to support you. She's not here to carry you. And one of the things you find out about women is that women who try to carry men eventually get to their breaking point. We learn that in scripture. If you find the case of Mephibosheth, the Bible says that there was this woman that was carrying Mephibosheth, but she got to a point where she could no longer go further. And by the time she dropped him, it was a bad one. I don't know how a woman will drop a boy of 5 years old and will become crippled instantly. You all know that even women who hold babies of 6 months old, when a baby of 6 months old drop from a woman's hand, I've not heard it yet that the baby became crippled. For a 5-year-old to drop from a woman's hand and became crippled, the question is, did the baby drop
Or was the baby? Or did she just get to a point where she was like, hey, listen, I'm tired of carrying you. And that's what we're seeing today. Women becoming tired of carrying babies and carrying the big baby of a house. Because a man has this fantasy about the kind of job. See that, don't worry. See that, I've got this big dream. I'm looking forward to this big job. It's a very big one. Something big is coming my way. You said that last year. 4 years ago, something big is coming. There's this big thing, you know, sweetheart. I feel it in the Holy Ghost. You know, this is big. It's come. Stop talking about this big thing. Whatsoever your hand findeth to do, the Bible said, do it with all your might. Get somewhere. Put your hands up. Do something for somebody. Go render service somewhere. Bring in little income. Listen, the Bible said, whatever you lay your hands upon to do, that will prosper. It's not the job that will prosper you. It's the commitment to work that will prosper you. And there's dignity in labor. Whatever you can do, find a way to just do it. And stop relying on the fact that your wife works with World Bank and that's why you will stay at the local corner in your own house. Be the man. You may not earn as much as your wife does, but bring in something home. At least, for God's sake, just make sure on your way back, buy some groceries. If that's all you can afford, your wife will celebrate the fact. And that's why she can now be the comforter, the one that comes alongside to help where you stop. But you're not going to expect her to be the one that is in charge. And that's one of the reasons why men are losing their respect at home. Let there be commitment. Praise God. What you don't work on will not work out. Principle of account. That's the next thing I want to talk to you about. Principle of account. It says that until you identify and begin to invest into the most important account to your partner, you may never get the maximum return from that relationship. Now, I wish I have containers here to illustrate that, but then I'll try to explain in such a way that you all understand. All of us operate bank accounts and all of that. And you know that if you go into the bank and you want to make a withdrawal from an account, first of all, that you don't have, you know that's going to be trouble. You want to say, sorry, please, I want to make a withdrawal. The first question is, do you have an account with us? No. So you can't make a withdrawal. Is that okay? And if you have an account with them and you don't have anything in the account, then the question is, how do you intend to withdraw? Is that all right? And even if you have an account and you've been putting some things in the account and they notice that you're not consistent in the way you make your deposits and the rest of that, it begins to create a question about your capacity to be able to return money in case they loan you some money. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Relationships are like accounts. First, you have to open them. Yes. First, you have to open them. I opened an account with my wife about 12 years ago. And it has to be officially opened, amen. Yes, it has to be. You've got to go to the bank. You've got to make sure that you drop your passport. You do all the necessary things and make sure the account is officially open. When I mean officially, you know what I mean by official. So I had to officially open an account with my wife about 12 years ago. I had to go to see her parents, you know, and had to drop some things. They requested for some things, and I had to do that. Yes, that's part of opening the account. Is that all right? Yes. So, and then we did our wedding, and the pastor blessed us and declared that this account can now begin to function as a normal account. You understand that? And then from that night, we began to make deposits. Are you understand? Yeah. Praise God. Yeah, from that night. Amen. Yes, after the priest declared that the account is now legal and functional and is operational. So once he declared that, we had the go ahead from God. We were authorized to operate the account. So we had the account number. Yeah, so we began to make deposits that very night. And it's been 12 years of making deposits. Now, the reason why I can go to my wife and I want to withdraw from her account is because I have a relationship with her. I make deposits into her life. I value her. I do things for her. I recognize our love language.
She also makes deposit into my life, and so she can make withdrawals. Relationships are like accounts. You don't expect a woman to show you affection when you ignore her. You can't ignore a woman and expect to get from her. I know it doesn't happen here in this part of the world, but I think it happens some other places. You know, it's so funny. I'm restricted because it's a mixed audience, and so many things I like to say, but got to be careful about that. Now, one of the things you find is sometimes you find a situation whereby a man will just come to his wife and, you know, just come back from work and didn't say hi to her in the morning, didn't say hello, didn't set the mood, you know, didn't help her to do anything, and just comes back home in the evening, watching TV, and then suddenly comes under the anointing for this experience. And the next thing is, hi, sorry, sweetheart, how are you doing? Get into the room, you know. Get where? Sweetheart, lie down, lay on the bed, you know. What? I'm telling what goes on. Just lie down there, okay, fine, all right. And then he's done, and the next thing he goes back watching TV. That's if he doesn't start snoring. And the woman just feels used. She just feels used. So if you've got to make some major withdrawals, you must learn to make some deposits. Is that okay? And you need to find out from your wife or from your husband or from your intended husband or your potential spouse and all of that. You need to learn to figure out what matters to the person. And then begin to make deposits in that direction. You need to identify what is the most important thing to your partner and begin to make the right deposits in that direction. So it's critical. For my wife, like I said, she loves you to get involved. When she's working, she wants you to get involved, render service. So I try to do that. When she's working and she's trying to nurture my baby, I tell her, okay, sorry, sweetheart, can I help you take care of the baby while you go ahead and walk? Or can you be taking care of the baby while I get involved helping you to do something? That makes a lot of sense to my wife. That's a huge deposit you are making into her account. If you do things like that for her, she will be the one asking you to come and make withdrawals that she wants to give you a loan. I get what I'm saying. Now, listen, you are such a wonderful people. That's why I don't want to say everything the way they should be said. You understand parables in this church, amen? You know, if you have a good relationship with the bank, they will tell you to come withdraw. You get what I'm saying? Yeah, they'll tell you, come take. God bless that woman. She understands what I'm talking about. So, you know, by the time you do the kind of things you need to do for my wife and help her to do this, help her to do that, and all of that, and, you know, the next thing she begins to think about is how to reward you. Because the account is loaded. You forgot. So I make deposits. I'm smart enough to make deposits. You understand what I'm saying? And I make it regularly. Amen. Because if you do that regularly, the veils, the curtain of the temple will be opened unto you on their own accord. Amen. You know. Praise God. Gotta leave it there. Amen. The reasons why some of us men, the reasons why we face rejection when we get into the Holy of Holies is because we've not made the necessary sacrifice on our way to the Holy of Holies. I will. Praise God. Let me run out of that point, you know. The next thing I want to talk about is the principle of sacrifice. It states that you will have to give up something good in order to get something better in your marriage and relationship. You will have to give up something good in order to get something better in your marriage and relationship. What that simply says is that it's not just talking about giving up something. It's talking about sometimes you have to give up something that is good in order to get the best out of your marriage. Sometimes you have to give up some of the friends that you are in relationship with in order to keep the relationship between yourself and your spouse. Sometimes you have to give up things that are lawful, but they are not expedient. So sacrifice is what strengthens relationships. Sacrifice is a proof of desire because everything in life has a price. Every successful marriage and relationship is a reflection of selfless sacrifice between the parties involved. Nothing just happens. Sacrifice is a reflection of your value system. What you value, you pay for. You cannot experience something of greater value in marriage or relationship if you cannot give up something that is of lesser value to you. There is no successful relationship without sacrifice. We all make sacrifices to keep good relationships. I had to give up some of my friends in order to keep my wife. Is that okay? My wife had to give up some of her friends in order to keep me in relationship with her. Some of the times that we spend with our friends, we had to give up all of that in order to spend more time with each other. In essence, you can have it all and have it all. God will learn to give up some things. And that's what maturity is all about. Maturity is the ability to delay reaction and delay gratification. So sacrifice is critical if relationship has to be sustained. The next thing I want to share with you is the principle of spirituality. And I'll share one more and I'll be done. The principle of spirituality. It says that your relationship with God will determine the stability of your marriage and relationship. Your relationship with God will determine the stability of your marriage and relationship. What that simply means is that if you do not have a functional relationship with God, it is probable if you'll be able to sustain a quality relationship with your spouse. Let me say it this way. It's been proven that men who are good worshippers, men who learn, I'm talking about genuine worshippers, not professional. Men who learn to really praise God. Praise God. Men who really know how to worship God, it's been discovered that most of them are very romantic. Men who know how to spend time with God, to worship God. Men who are not in a hurry to get into God's presence and pull out. Men will understand with me what I'm saying, because we've proven this by our interaction with men over the years. Men who easily get into the gospel and Father, thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, I thank you for today in general, you know. Men, yes, sir. Plus Jesus minus Satan equals amen. You know, a lot. Have you met men who are praying, Father God, I thank you for this morning. And Lord, I bless you because I'm going out right now, Lord. Thank you, Father, because you're such a good father. Now to them, that's devotion. Every time you're always in a hurry to talk to God. Check such men too when it comes to their relationship with their wives. They are always in a hurry. Just get straight to the point. And the woman is like, hey, spend some time with me. Because I don't also spend some time with God. I don't spend time doing all this. You are holy. You are mighty. You're such a wonderful God. It's not like you, Lord. That's a waste of time. Lord, I just came to tell you. There's a liar now there. I need you to dispatch angels to take care of that guy. You know, in Jesus' name we pray. And you find the same thing follows you to the place of relationship with your wife. You're always in a hurry. Straight to the point. You know, you go, you just get to her. Within 5 minutes, you're done. Once you are happy, it doesn't matter if she is happy. The same thing with God. So long as your own requests are answered, you don't care if God is happy. So you find your relationship with God, the dysfunction in it, you bring into your relationship. If it's functional, you see that work in your relationship. Men who spend time with God spend time with their wives. As a truth. Men who spend time with God spend time with their wives. In essence, you can tell in most cases if a man is not spending time with God by checking how he spends time with his wife. So spirituality determines the stability of your relationship with your spouse. Is that okay? All right. So we need to start going on. Your personal time of fellowship with God is critical to the sustenance of your marriage and relationship. Whatever or whoever takes you away from God will not be able to keep you away or keep you in whatever it is that the person has taken you away from God for. Now, that simply says to particularly those of us who are singles who are yet to get married, never let somebody who comes into your life in the name of trying to get married, you never let a person take you away from God. Because whosoever takes you away from God cannot sustain you in life. And that's one of the ways by which you get to know if a guy is meant for you or a girl is meant for you. Is she drawing you away from God or pulling you close to God? You need to figure that out. And I told you there are some things at your age now that you should begin to tell yourself, you should begin to use to tell yourself the honest truth. Things that can keep a solid relationship. The bank account can't keep a relationship. We've seen so many who are married who've got money, and eventually the money became the reason why they had to break up. You understand? So there are some things now you need to begin to tell yourself are not the things that really makes marriage and relationships work. Popularity does not make it work. Prosperity does not make it work. So you need to start figuring out what is it. And one of the things that we find out is that spirituality brings stability to your relationship. It's critical. The last thing I want to mention here because of my time is what I call the principle of baggage. You cannot start and go forward to build a healthy relationship or marriage if you keep holding on to the baggages from your previous relationships. You can't build a quality relationship. You cannot build a quality marriage if you're still holding on to baggages from your previous relationship. You had a bad experience with John, and now you're with Michael, and then you're making Michael pay for what John did. And the same thing with us. Those who, you know, it was Natasha that broke your heart. It's Yolanda that is paying for it. You know? And some of us are yet to heal and we're still looking for a relationship. The reality is, if you're not healed, it's not wise to go into another relationship. Because relationships don't heal the wounds of the heart. Don't go into a relationship hoping that somebody who is coming into your life will heal you or help you to get healed from the pains that you had from a previous relationship. Get healed before you move into another relationship. Otherwise, somebody else will become the victim of your past experience. Is there a name we shouldn't mention? Because every time we mention that name, it brings pain, bitterness, resentment into your heart. It just shows you've not yet been healed. How did you end up your last relationship? Do you still feel bad about it? If you hear about a guy, do you still wish that, even though you don't want to kill him yourself, but Lord, Lord, it won't be a... Even though you don't want to kill him, but Lord, it won't be a bad idea, Lord. If you hear he's dead today, won't you say, well, you know, God, Lord, I feel so bad that he's dead, but Lord, you know, he's just paying for what he did to me. Won't you feel that way? It means you're still nursing the pain. I know somebody raped you. That's okay. They raped your past, not your present and not your future. The reality is, yesterday ended last night. Put the past behind you. Move to the future that God has designed for you. Praise God. So learn to put the past behind you. I know so many things have happened in your past. Somebody abused you. Somebody violated you. Somebody broke your heart. And all of that. Put all of that behind you. You still got a beautiful future right before you. So it's critical that we'll learn to overcome the baggages. Paul the Apostle said in Philippians chapter 3 verse 13 to 14. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Forgetting those things which are where? Behind. Put them behind you. I don't know what's happened in your life. I don't know what has happened in the past, but God is asking you to let it go. Thank you so very much and God bless you.